Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This process of creation and annihilation described in summary herein is the regulative principle during the duration of Brahma's one day. It is also the regulative principle in the creation of Mahat, in which the material nature is dispersed. Purport: there are three different types of creation called Mahakalpa, Vikalpa and Kalpa. In the Mahakalpa, the Lord assumes the first Purusha incarnation as Karanodakshaya Vishnu with all the potencies of the Mahat Tattva and the 16 principles of creative matter and instruments. The creative instruments are 11, the ingredients are 5, and all of them are products of Mahat or materialistic ego. These creations by the Lord in His feature of Karanodakshaya Vishnu are called Mahakalpa. The creation of Brahma and dispersion of the material ingredients are called Vikalpa, and the creation by Brahma in each day of His life is called Kalpa. Therefore, each day of Brahma is called a Kalpa, and there are 30 Kalpas in terms of Brahma's days. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, 8th chapter, text number 17, as follows. Sahasra yuga paryantam aharyat brahmano vidhu ratrim yuga sahasrantam teho ratra vidojanam. In the upper planetary system, the duration of one complete day and night is equal to one complete year of this earth. This is accepted even by the modern scientist and attested by the astronauts. Similarly, in the region of still higher planetary systems, the duration of day and night is still greater than in the heavenly planets. The four yugas are calculated in terms of the heavenly calendars and accordingly are 12,000 years in terms of the heavenly planets. This is called a Divya Yuga, and 1,000 Divya Yugas make one day of Brahma. The creation during the day of Brahma is called Kalpa, and the creation of Brahma is called Vikalpa. When Vikalpas are made possible by the breathing of Mahavishnu, this is called a Mahakalpa. There are regular and systematic cycles of these Mahakalpas, Vikalpas and Kalpas. In answer to Maharaj Parikshit's question about them, Shukdev Goswami answered in the Prabhasa Khanda of the Skanda Puran. They are as follows. Pratamaha Shveta Kalpascha Dvitiyo Nila Lohita Vamadevas Tritiyastu Tato Gatantaropara Aurorava Panchama Prokta Sashta Prana Iti Smrita Saptamota Brahaskalpa Kandarpostama Uchyate Sadhyata Navama Kalpa Ishano Dashama Smrita Dhyana Eka Dasha Prokta Tata Shara Svatopara Trayo Dasha Udanastu Garudota Chatur Dasha Kaurmaha Pancha Disho Geya Purnamasi Prajapate Shodasho Narasimhastu Samadhistu Pato Parah Agneyo Vishnuja Saura Soma Kalpas Tato Param Dvamimsho Bhavana Prokta Supauman Iti Chaparah Vaikuntas Charshitas Tadvad Vali Kalpas Tato Param Saptavimshota Vairajo Gauri Kalpas Tata Param Maheshwaras tata proktas tripuro yatra gatita pitru kalpatas tata chante yah kuhur brahmana smrita. Therefore, the 30 kalpas of Brahma are Shweta Kalpa, Nilahoita, Vamadeva, Gatantara, Raurava, Prana, Brahat Kalpa, Kandarpa, Sadyota, Ishana, Dhyana, Sarasvata, Udana, Garuda, Kaurma, Narasimha, Samadhi, Agneya, Vishnuja, Shaura, Somakalpa, Bhavana, Supuma, Vaikunta, Archisha, Valikalpa, Vairaja, Gaurikalpa, Maheshwara and Paitrakalpa. These are Brahma's days only, and he has to live months and years up to 100, so we can just imagine how many creations are there in Kalpas only. Then again there are Vikalpas, which are generated by the breathing of Mahavishnu. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Essei Kanishvasita Kala Matavalambhya Jeevantiloma Vilaja Jagadandanatha. The Brahmas live only during the breathing period of Mahavishnu, so the exhaling and inhaling of Vishnu are Mahakalpas, and all these are due to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for no one else is the master of all creations. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namam Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yatkripatamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyam Ishwaram नमः ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात देश तारिणे वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा कृष्णा हरे हरे, हरे रामा राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे रामा मा हरे हरे। योन्ता प्रविश्य मम वाचमिमां प्रसुप्तान् संजीवयत किल शक्तिधरा स्वधाम्ना अन्यांश हस्तचरण श्रवणात्वगादीन् प्राणान् नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यं। कतांचना स्मृते यस्मिन् दुष्करं सुकरं भवेत् विस्मृते विपरीतं स्या श्री चैतन्य नमामितम्। हरे कृष्णा। My sincere gratitude to every one of you here. Whenever I've come here, I've been coming here since 2005. And in between for almost 9 years, I didn't come. And each time I come, I'm overwhelmed by the love and respect that I get. And also the morning sadhana, the Guru Puja. It's amazing. And very inspiring community. Under the shelter of Sri Sri Radha Gokulananji, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Srila Prabhupada. Amazing. Thank you. ISKCON Bhaktivedanta Manor Ki Jai. Today, verse is highlighting the theme of time. Basically, if you see this entire section and the purport also here, is revealing to us how in the Vedic paradigm, time is not a linear function. You know, generally, if you see in the Christian calendar, for example, you know, Jesus Christ came at a certain time and now we say AD, 2023 AD. So this time is a linear function. So it's gone. Time is gone. But in Vedic paradigm, there's an interesting dimension where time is a cyclical function. Satya, Yuga, then Treta, Dwapara, Kali, and then the cycle continues. You know, it's like seasons. Now we have in India, in England, it's very unpredictable. It's amazing how, you know, I go for a walk here when I come and I carry a small bag and I have three caps inside it. One is the winter cap and one is the summer that heat, and then is a rain cap. I carry all three in my small bag because in 1 hour of walk, I get all seasons. But generally what happens is in India, we've seen the seasons change. Summer, rain, then, you know, spring, winter, all of that. And then again, the cycle keeps going on. So that is how life is. You know, we go through birth, growth, you know, create byproducts and dwindling and death. And then again, birth. So this is, and the benefit of having this paradigm is that we learn to see eternity of the soul. We learn to see how everything is changing. But something doesn't change. Something remains. And Bhagavatam, if you see, the whole Bhagavatam's agenda is to help us see the eternity of the soul. Everything is changing, but something doesn't change. And the whole agenda is to how to help us end our sojourn in this material world and go back to Krishna's abode. And also when we have this paradigm of existence, where we see time as a cyclical function, then we also learn to see our insignificance in this giant cosmos. Huge. And who am I? We realize I'm very, very insignificant. Like there is a There is one small video which was sent to me many months ago about one NASA, I think, rocket was going, and they shot Earth as the space vehicle was going above. So Earth, you can see its size dwindling as the rocket is going further away from Earth. And finally it becomes a small dot. Just imagine, this huge cosmos, Earth is a small dot. And we are fighting over land and issues. Not in that, within that dot, there is a tiny, tiny, tiny dot for which we are fighting. And so many things have happened in that dot, which is nothing actually in the cosmos. You know, so many saints have come, so many swindlers, so many wars have been fought, so many lovers have come and gone. So many things have happened. But we are utterly insignificant. So Bhagavatam is like that space rocket. You know, it gives us an aerial perspective. It helps us see the whole, our existence in planet Earth, our existence in material world as insignificant. But the best part of this model of, this paradigm of understanding of time is that this is the best part. This is a paradox that Bhagavatam presents. I'm insignificant. If you read Bhagavatam, this is what you will realize. Wow, when you read this time description of time like this, wow. Like here Brahma's life is described as, you know, there is one, I was remembering one purport in the Gita where Srila Prabhupada writes that if you compare time to eternity, Brahma's life is like a flash of lightning. How long does it last? It's gone. So Brahma's life, which is trillions of years, is like a flash of lightning. His life is so brief, then what to speak of our lives and our achievements? So the whole Bhagavatam perspective is we are insignificant. But the best part of this model is, the paradox is, if you read Bhagavatam and study the whole Bhagavatam, we realize I'm utterly insignificant, and at the same time we feel loved. We feel a sense of importance. This is the paradox. Like generally we think in this world, if only if you're prominent, you think you are somebody. You know, like, we don't want to be insignificant in this world. But when it comes to spiritual practices, when we read these kind of sections, we realize I am nobody. But our connection with the Lord helps us feel a sense of belongingness. That's the best part. You go to any sincere spiritual seeker in any spiritual path, you know, they focus on this. Ultimately, they realize that they are very special. Some of the unfortunate byproducts of some spiritual paths is, you know, they don't want to understand their insignificance. But Srila Prabhupada has given us a perfect package through the Bhagavatam, where you feel utterly insignificant, yet you feel loved. We all, you know, I'll give a very mundane example, my own example. Once I was flying from Mumbai to Perth, which is Western Australia. And it was the first time I was going to Australia. For the day before I left, I was sitting in the garden near our temple, and I was looking at the sky, huge sky. And I like to spend time in nature, so I was just looking at the sky, and then the sun set and the stars started appearing in the sky, and then I saw a plane fly, and that plane appeared to be insignificant in comparison to the big sky. And finally, I was just looking at it, and it was like swallowed by the heavens, it was gone. And I remember just sitting still there, seeing how that plane is insignificant in the giant sky. And next day, I was on a plane to Perth. And as our plane was descending, I could see from the plane the huge expanse of Earth. And I saw some buildings there. I saw some gardens from the window seat. And that appeared so insignificant in comparison to the huge Earth. And I kept looking, and finally we descended. So these two experiences remained in me. And then I went to my host's house. The person was hosting me. And at night I was taking rest, and next to my bed was a huge window. And I looked out of the window and I saw this huge sky and the stars. And I remember at that moment, seeing all the stars in the sky, I felt, oh, I was with them yesterday in the park. Same stars. And I remember at that point of time, getting this, this paradox, these emotions, these feelings, these contradictory feelings, feeling utterly insignificant, yet feeling that I belong here. There is some connection with this universe. There is some connection with the stars. I'm not alone. So this is an amazing, this has to be experienced, I guess. So in Krishna consciousness, this is what happens when we take part in Sankirtan. Why Sankirtan movement? Because in the fire of Sankirtan, Yajna, Sankirtan, I am nobody. It's the holy name which reigns supreme, right? When we do Kirtan. And I am nobody. Yet in that Kirtan, we feel loved. That's the best part. See, all problems happen in a community is when I come and I say, okay guys, I've come. I'm going to change the world. I'm a great preacher. I'm a devotee. Here I come. And I have an agenda to change the world. That's the seed of all problems. But if I take part in Sankirtan, understanding that Lord Chaitanya has made a plan, a beautiful plan to deliver the universe. And Srila Prabhupada is executing this plan on his behalf. And we have to play our tiny part in this giant plan. And that is Sankirtan. We are happy. That's the whole agenda of Bhagavatam. To help us see the overall perspective. And see our tiny, insignificant dot within that plan and yet feel loved. That's the beauty of Bhakti Yoga. So, and this is how we actually, as we get older and as we face death, this is how we learn to let go. Even in our present, even when we are not dying, let's say every moment we are dying, but we are healthy, even at this point of time, sometimes when you face some uncontrollable situations, unpredictable situations, you can feel that utter helplessness, and yet I feel a sense of belonging. I want to share one more personal story. I'm sorry, but this is like, see, I have a lot of struggles. I am scared of death, like any one of you. I have my own insecurities. But, there are moments in our practices where we experience Krishna's love in unique ways. So I just want to share one incident. During the COVID 2020, those of you who know, India had imposed strict lockdowns. So I was at my hometown with my mother and she was very sick. And I'd been living in the ashram for 23 years already. And the first time I was staying with my mom for 8 months, we couldn't leave. And she was very sick. So I was taking care of her, running to the hospital, managing so many things. And I was exhausted. I was tired. But interestingly, and my mother, she also had some, emotional issues and all of that. And but one thing we were doing together every day for 3 hours was we were spending time in the space of Bhagavatam, chanting, praying. And then rest of the day I would be running around managing the house and she would be lying on the bed. So 3 hours quality time every day. So then after the end of the 7th month, one day suddenly something scary happened. It was night. And a cyclone came. And we were unprepared for it. And you'd have a traditional house. So, it's a South Indian town. All the coconut trees started swinging wildly. And I saw a huge snake, long snake, fall on the terrace of our house. And it slithered away. And my mosquito net just flew away in the wind. And I felt our house is going to be uprooted. It's like, it was really scary. And the lights went off. It was pitch dark and I went to my mom and I knew I had to help her and we had to get out of the house. But then I couldn't lift her, and because of the lot of hectic schedules, I had a backache also. And I was sitting next to her and then she said, no, I won't leave this place. I'm just here. And then we sat and it was intense. I had never experienced such rain and such fear. And then I held her hand and I was just rubbing her palm. And we had been doing this chanting of Bhagavatam and verses and all of that every day for a few hours. So in the night time, we said nothing to do. So we started chanting. We chanted for a few minutes. And then you won't believe it. At a certain point of time, as there's all mayhem around, it's like I actually felt a sword of death dangling above my head. I thought we were going to die any time, any moment. And we didn't know where to go. It was all pitch dark and it was scary. And, it's a village setting. I had to describe the whole Indian village for that to explain. It was not as simple as getting out of the manor, It's like you have to go through fields and it's very complicated. Anyway, so then I decided, no, we're going to die now. But in that moment of kirtan, chanting, verses, I held my mother's hand. And at one point of time, my mother looked at me and she said it with amazing clarity. She smiled and she said, son, if this is it, let it be. At that moment, the kind of peace that engulfed my heart, although we were in a very precarious situation, I can't describe that feeling. Like, ready. You know, as if we were ready for what's going to come. They say in English that in the eye of the storm there is peace or something. We were at that. Literally we were there. And there was peace. It was as if I was ready to let go. To be honest, I'm not at that level all the time. Like right now, I have my own fears and insecurities. But I'm just trying to say that how this is where Bhagavatam takes us eventually. That as we leave this body, we are ready to let go. We have to let go everything sooner or later. And if you see, this is the instruction that Krishna gives Arjuna in the Gita. That we are eternal. We are not part of this world. We are insignificant. Let go and we belong to the Lord. I've interviewed one boy, Deep Kapadia, who came for our classes in Mumbai, and during reincarnation class, Gaur Gopal Prabhu was speaking, and this boy just raised his hand and said, I'm a case of reincarnation. So we thought he was just trying to grab attention, you know. So we were respectful to him, and he understood that we don't believe him. So next day he brought all the newspaper cuttings and all the media coverage of his reincarnation story. He was a case study of Dr. Ian Stevenson and Dr. Satwant Pasricha, who had studied his case, and he was a soldier, a sepoy in a Rajasthan fort, and how they poisoned him, and the whole dramatic story. And when I saw him, and his memory is fading away, but there are many cases like this where, you know, the cases of reincarnation which teaches us this cycle. Birth, old age, disease, death, birth. And Bhagavatam is helping us not only understand this, Bhagavatam helps us get out of this cycle. Get out of this cycle. End this business forever. And Srimad Bhagavatam, now this is the second canto. If we keep reading, we will reach the 12th canto. Just the end. And you will find the most amazing description towards the end of Bhagavatam. Shukdev Goswami describes the names of kings. And you know who are these kings? He explains very clearly. I'm going to tell you the names of these kings who have ruled the entire earth. See, they were not kings or queens of a small country, India or England, no. These were men who ruled the entire planet Earth. And he mentions so many names. When I was reading them, like, who are they? I mean, I don't know them. And some 40, 50 names are just mentioned. And you keep reading, just like I read those verses today, so many verses in the purport. Just names, names, names. And after the whole section is finished, Shukdev Goswami ends that by saying, he tells Parikshit Maharaj, my dear king, the names I mentioned to you just now, please don't think they're ordinary names. You know who they are? Ye ye bhupatayo rajan bunjate bhuvamojasa kale nate krita sarve kata matra kata sucha. He says the names I've mentioned, they were ye means all these names. Ye bhupatayo rajan. They were bhupatis. They were the lords of the entire planet Earth. Ye bhupatayo rajan. You may think, okay, he may have been a king, but he may be weak and old. He says, no. They were not only kings who ruled the planet Earth. Bunjate bhuvamo jasa. They enjoyed to their full capacity. They had so much power and strength. But who are they today? Kale nate krita sarve. Time has swept them away. Kata matra kata sucha. They are simply names in these pages of Bhagavatam. This is a condition of people who have ruled the entire planet Earth. And we are here thinking, I am going to do something extraordinary. The Bhagavatam is exposing us to this, you know, imagined self-importance that we carry. Just burst the bubble. You are nobody. At the same time, as I said, when we read Bhagavatam, remember Krishna, we feel loved. This paradox is the beauty of Krishna consciousness. So the appeal is perfect your life. Otherwise, you cannot keep analyzing your existence in this world and trying to sort out your problems. When Bhishma was approached by Yudhishthira, Yudhishthira was despondent. He felt responsible for killing all the Kauravas. And he was inconsolable. And Bhishma, while consoling Yudhishthira, he tells him that, you know what, Yudhishthira, you are not the cause of all this destruction. He says, Sarvam kala krita manye bhavatam chayad apriyam सपालो यद्वशे लोको वायुर इव घनावली. इसे सर्वम काल टाइम, द साइक्लिकल टाइम इज द कॉज ऑफ एवरीथिंग. सर्वम काल कृता मन्ये भवताम च यद अप्रियम. अप्रिय, वॉट एवर अनपैलेटेबल थिंग्स हैपन इन योर लाइफ इज हैपनिंग बिकॉज ऑफ दिस टाइम. एंड हु आर ऑल अंडर दिस इंफ्लुएंस ऑफ टाइम? सपालो यद वशे लोको, द होल वर्ल्ड इज कंट्रोल्ड बाय टाइम. Just like, he gives an analogy, Vayor Iva Ghanavali. Just like a mass of cloud is existing in the sky and a huge wind comes and blows that cloud away. So we've made grand plans for our happiness and this huge wind of time comes and throws away our plan. So this is how life is. And there is one lecture of Srila Prabhupada I was hearing in Hindi. Those of you know Hindi, I'll translate it into English. No, Srila Prabhupada says in the Hindi lecture, he's talking about time. He says, "Koi bhi vyakti buda nahi hona chahta hai, par kal, prakriti, sabko chup-chap buda bana deta hai." Srila Prabhupada is, I'm translating it. Srila Prabhupada says, "Nobody wants to become old, but time, chup-chap, chup-chap means quietly. Time quietly makes everyone old." So the way he said it, it was quite graphic and very interesting, the way he said it, quietly. And Srila Prabhupada himself beautifully illustrated this, you know, power of time. Once he was with his disciples, this is January 1977, they were on a morning walk in Jagannath Puri. And they were walking and Srila Prabhupada saw one boy running into the waves and jumping. And Srila Prabhupada looked at his disciples and looked at that boy. And he smiled. And he said, "You know, I was this boy's age when I came to Jagannath Puri for the first time." That was 1920, was the first time Srila Prabhupada came to Jagannath Puri. He was a 24-year-old young man. He says, "I came in 1920 and I was running in the waves like him. And today, 57 years have passed like this." Srila Prabhupada said, "Like this. 57 years have passed like this." We say that, right? When we meet, "Oh, Prabhu, time has gone so fast. Oh, you are a small child, now you become so..." You know, we wonder how this happened. But that's how time is. I remember as a young boy, we would play cricket. And, you know, in the streets of India. And we would play cricket and the ball would go to some elderly person. We would say, "Uncle, uncle." In India, you know, we call people older to us as uncle. That's a tradition. And we call women as auntie. They may not be your aunt, they may not be your uncle, but you know, everybody's uncle for us. So you would say, "Uncle, ball though." You know, as a kid, I remember telling anyone, any senior person gets the ball, and who would run all the way to fetch the ball? You would say, "Uncle, ball, please." That's why I grew up playing cricket in the streets of Mumbai. And I joined the ashram. Anyway, we grew up, became devotees. And one day I was walking in the street chanting Hare Krishna, and children were playing, and the ball came to me, and I suddenly heard one kid say, "Uncle, uncle, give me ball." I said, "Excuse me, what happened? I have become uncle." When did I become uncle? What just happened? So Bhagavatam is telling us this is what is the reality. You know, all these kings are nobody. In fact, there's a section, I think, in the previous chapter. Oh, sorry, this is the second canto. The first canto, 9th chapter, we have a section where Dhritarashtra is attached to his house. He doesn't want to leave. And Vidura comes and instructs him. So Vidura tells him something very powerful about time, which has really struck with me. He says, "You are attached to your comfort zone. You are," he gives an analogy. He says, "Evam griheshu saktanam pramattanam tadiyaya atyakramad avigyata kalah parama dustara." He says, "Kala, time is paramadustara, extremely powerful, that you are not realizing. Evam griheshu saktanam," you become so attached to your house, "pramattanam tadiya," you become mad. And you don't realize that time is who? Atyakramad, extremely powerful, but more than being powerful, time is avigyata. Avigyata means imperceptible. You don't realize how time flies. He says,
avigyata, dhritarashtra, you don't realize time is so imperceptible. It's gone. Just say, today morning I was, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulanand Bhagavan ki, Jai Sitaram Lashman Hanuman ki, Jai Gaur Nitai ki. Just today morning I was clipping my nails. How many of you clip your nails, right? Sometime at least. The nails grow. But do you see the nails growing? Do you see like, oh, it's growing, it's growing. Do you see it growing like this? But it grows. How does it grow? Imperceptible. Your hair grows. You don't see it growing. That's what Bhagavatam says. Kala is avigyata. Avigyata means imperceptible. You can't see it growing. How does old age come? It's not that you're lying on the bed and suddenly you get up in the morning saying, oh, I have become old. There is rhythm, there is grace, there is beauty. If you want to see it like that, how time goes and how seasons change. There is such rhythm in nature, but so beautifully constructed that all of us will be reduced to insignificance. In the next verse, Dhritarashtra, because Dhritarashtra, Vidura knows Dhritarashtra is very stubborn. He is like incorrigible. He wouldn't change. So Vidura tells him, the Sutta Goswami says, Vidurastate abhipretya Dhritarashtram abhasata rajan nirgamyatam shigram pashyedam bhayamagatam. He says time has two features. One is imperceptible, which we just now discussed. Time is imperceptible. And second, he says, Rajan Nirgamyatam. Oh, king, get out of the kingdom. Oh, Dhritarashtra, get out. Because Pashyedam Bhayamagatam. Look at your face in the mirror, my dear brother. You have been gripped by fear. Time invokes fear. Time is so powerful that if we don't practice spiritual life and if we make grand plans to enjoy in this world, by the power of time, we will be gripped by fear. Pashyedam bhayamagatam, bhaya will come to you. Because you get attached, right? And you don't want to leave it. And when the inevitable happens, you just don't want to leave it. In 2005, when I was here, first time when I was here, I saw an article. In 2002 or, yeah. There was an article which was in the Sun magazine. There is a newspaper, I think, Sun. So somebody gave me a cutting. It was an amazing article. It was comparing three famous personalities, Ronald Reagan, Margaret Thatcher, and one more person, how they had become a shadow of their former glorious self, how they were living alone and suffering and living in fear. And when I read that, I remember feeling sobered, because as a young boy in mid-1980s, in India, Mrs. Margaret Thatcher was she was an icon of, when she would give a speech, the whole House of Commons would applaud, and she was called as an Iron Lady or something. No. She was very popular even in India. She was a great influencer in world politics, and she was seen as a great leader. Even Ronald Reagan was the president of the US at that time. And just, you fast forward time, 20 years, she's so scared. She was so insecure. Now, it's not to demean her. I'm just saying this is what happens to all of us. This is the reality of this world. That's what Vidura is telling Dhritarashtra. Pashyedam bhayamagatam. Therefore, the clock. My eyes are on the clock because I want to finish on time. But generally, if you see this clock, if it's not a Bhagavatam class, now we look at the clock because we want the class to end on time. But generally, you look at the clock. If a young boy is looking at the clock, he's like, oh, why is it going so slow? It should go fast. I want to grow old. And the same clock an old man sees, he's like, oh, he's going too fast. Slow down. Slow down. That's how life is. I remember I am doing a preaching program in Mumbai, South Bombay. I just recently started. For young boys and girls, they are all like 20 to 25. So because of whatever, in India we have this culture, I'm 50, so when I see this 20, 22-year-old, I get this kind of, I imagine that I'm like a fatherly figure. So I said, okay, all of you children, you should, so one day, one of the girls, she said, Prabhu, we are not children anymore. Oh, sorry.
So then our mother came and told me, Prabhu, they don't like to be called as children now. So I learned it the hard way. So when we are children, we want to grow up. And we see the watch is going very slow. But the same clock, as you get older, like it's going too fast. But that's how time is. It invokes that fear. And Srimad Bhagavatam helps us see how imperceptible time is and how it invokes fear. And let us change our attachment before it's too late. Because that fear is palpable as you get older. You know, we just don't want to give it up. Like I remember one elderly man was coming to temple, our temple. And he was just one day broke down in front of me saying that, you know, my daughter-in-law and my son, they treat me so badly. I'm so disgusted with life. And when I hear Bhagavatam class, I'm like convinced that life is, you know, I just need to perfect my life. And I'm fed up of this material world. Please help me. Can I come and stay in the temple? You know, I just want to give up all of this. So I did some real hard work. You know, I went and asked some devotees. And I ensured that he could stay in one small place and he could attend the morning program every day. And I really did a sincere effort to ensure that he spends his last few years with Radha Gopinath in our temple. But then I didn't see him after that for a long time. So I was worried. I thought, and during those days we didn't have, you know, mobile phones and all of that. So I thought maybe he's passed away or maybe what has happened to him. And then months later I saw him one day and I was talking to him and we were taking prasadam. And then I touched that subject. I said, Prabhu, you know, months ago you told me about your desire, how you're frustrated in grihastha life. So you've not been coming at all. So are things all right at home? He said, no, it's the same. In fact, it become worse. So then I said, Prabhu, I have made arrangements for you here. And you know what he said? It shook me completely. Very sheepishly, he looked at me and he said, you know, Prabhu, I can't leave because, you know, when my grandson laughs, when my granddaughter, she's playing, I feel so bound by that affection that I just can't leave it. Now, what do I tell him? Should I tell him, no, you shouldn't be attached? No, because I grew up with my grandparents. My grandparents gave me so much love. And that's why I'm mentally stable now. So obviously, I can't tell him to leave his grandchildren. But I'm just saying that how attachments are something which will bind us throughout our life. And Bhagavatam is appealing to us. Get attached to Krishna. And as we get older, this brings a lot of pain. We were traveling from Mumbai to one place in Konkan, which is in the coastal belt of southern India. And the bus broke down, so we had to take an auto rickshaw. I don't know if you have that system in England. I don't know what it is. It's like a cab where six of us share seats. So we were all sitting and the rains had just subsided. So this one man was sitting in front of me with his son. He said, you know, those shutters that save us from the rain. He wanted it to be put up so that he could enjoy the breeze and the sights outside the taxi. So his father helped him pull up the shutter and he put it tight. As soon as he put it tight, it fell off. So then whole journey was adjusting it. And finally, when he finally got it right, and we all sat, I was sitting all the while, but finally when the father and son sat comfortably to enjoy the breeze, the auto stopped because they had reached their destination. And the father said, son, we have to get on now. He said, no, but I don't want to go. So he said, no, we have to. And he was crying, wailing, he was beating his, you know, and then I was like, wow, this is my situation. I'm adjusting my life, doing everything proper. And by the time I've like done everything nice, Mr. Kala, time comes and tells me, Prabhu, you have to leave. That's how life is. So Bhagavatam is teaching us, leave this world before it's too late. In the sense, internally get attached to Krishna and understand this time cycle. And I want to recall one. His Holiness Srila Satchinandan Swami Maharaj is an amazing, amazing teacher. I have not seen anyone like him. He's like, he knows how to convey a point. First time I remember I saw him was a Sunday feast class in our temple. Now our temple hall is, I think, three times bigger than this hall. Huge, long hall. And he said, who is the oldest person here? So one 94-year-old man got up. Valmiki Muni Prabhu. So Maharaj said, you go and stand on that corner. Okay. Who is the youngest here? So there was one three-year-old boy. So Maharaj made, you know, his mother helped that boy go to the other end of the hall. So he said, 94-year-old Valmiki Muni Prabhu and three-year-old boy. And then Maharaj took out something from his bag. It was a cloth ribbon. And he pulled it out. It was so long. One end that boy held and the other end Valmiki Muni Prabhu held. So they were like holding it. And then Maharaj said, this is our life. And we spent half of it sleeping. And he removed a big scissors and he went to the middle of that hall, temple hall, and he cut it. And then took the half of it and kept it inside. And then he made both of them come closer because half the ribbon had gone, right? They were closer. And then he said, now we spend half of this time in frivolous activities. And then he went to the middle of it and he cut it. So like this, you know, he kept saying different things we do. And finally, this much cloth was left. He said, this is all you have for practicing spiritual life. And then he had another set of that same cloth. He removed that again, that cloth ribbon, and he gave it to Valmiki Muni Prabhu and that child. And he made all of us look at the contrast. How much life you've got and what you're spending on spiritual practices. So that left an impression in all of our minds. So this is our life. So what happens, however, when we practice Krishna consciousness is that we enter that space of eternity. Like even within this temporary, everything is temporary. But when everything changes, we learn to embrace that which doesn't change. And that is Sankirtan. That is deity worship. Like what's happening in Bhaktivinoda Manor? Last 50 years, what's happening? Same thing, deity worship. So many things have changed externally. But Radha Gokulananji is getting offerings 6 times a day. Sankirtan is happening. So when we enter the space where the same spiritual activity is happening, we enter the space of eternity. Like Vishakha Mataji, she is now the temple president. So she was a young woman when she was taking photographs of the installation of Radha Gokulananda. She was here. Now with the same grace and dignity, she is here. I saw her on Friday. She was giving flowers for Prabhupada's Guru Puja. She was giving it to all the devotees. Same dignified Vishakha Mataji. 50 years ago, she was taking photographs of the deities. And now 50th anniversary is coming. Same personality. If you see, in one sense, same thing is happening. Same devotional service is happening. Even in material life, even if you're not a devotee, you can experience eternity. I don't know if you've experienced this. You know, people like to go in nature walks, mountains, forests. Have you ever felt a certain kind of peace when you're in a forest area? Or an ocean site? You know why you feel that? Have you ever thought why you feel suddenly peaceful when you're in a forest or a mountain? Because compared to you, you have 50, 40, 60 years of life, that mountain seems to have been there forever. And intuitively you know it. Oh, this ocean has been there forever. And there is something within you which is also not dying, which is also as ancient as that mountain. And who is that? Soul. So the soul meets the mountain. The soul meets the ocean side. That's why you feel suddenly peaceful in a, you know, under, like we have a giant banyan tree near our temple, which is like 500 years old apparently. So when I sit under that banyan tree, I feel a sense of belongingness. I feel safe. And then I look at the tree and I say, oh, you know, we are old friends. I'm also like that banyan tree. I haven't died, but something changes. So even if you're not a devotee, you can experience eternity. What to speak of connecting to a sacred space of a temple atmosphere where there is Sankirtan happening, where there is deity worship happening. So the more we spend time in Bhagavatam, the more we spend time with Krishna, we will enter that space of eternity. And as the time, the vicissitudes of time, as it keeps doing tamasha all around us, we know we have to just go back to Krishna and perfect our life. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions regarding today's class? Yes, please.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prajbhari Prabhu. Really, really nice class. On the topic of sort of time passing, and you've also spoken before about the achiever's mood versus the receiver's mood. And sometimes kind of when we're so worried about time passing, we can get into a bit of a mode of passion mindset. So how to balance that of wanting to progress, but at the same time being peaceful and satisfied in things evolving.
So correct me if I'm wrong. You're saying on the one hand, we say time is flying and we have to perfect our life. And on the other hand, if we actually become so conscious of time, we get into mode of passion and we want to achieve and we want to control. And we always say bhakti is not about achieving, bhakti is about receiving grace, right? It's a beautiful question. So how do we balance this sense of urgency with not getting a victim of passion? Wow, what a beautiful question. Okay, I'll tell you what I do. The sense of urgency is developed by reading Bhagavatam, hearing scriptures. It awakens in us a sense of urgency. However, after hearing this, you don't spring into action immediately in the mode of passion. What you generally do is, you practice what the Bhagavatam tells you to practice, which is chanting, hearing. And when we engage in those practices and we are present, when we are present, we transcend time. Otherwise, we will be like into achieving mode, tick. I've got 7 things to do every day. So then even bhakti practices become ritualistic. So the whole idea is, when you are engaging in bhakti practices, be mindful. And then you transcend time. Otherwise, mode of passion gets you. Like His Holiness Srila Chandramouli Swami Maharaj, I was with him in a retreat just a few days ago. And I was telling him an incident 2-3 years ago. He's 75, okay? So when he was 73, I think 72, he was in Chaupati temple and he told me about a backache he's having. So then, after that, we spoke and the next morning I was shocked. He was there in Guru Puja. And then he started dancing and while dancing, he forgot time. And generally the Guru Puja is supposed to end at 8:15 and Maharaj took the microphone and he started dancing, singing and it went on till 9:15. Nobody was complaining. And he was like, he was in his own world. And then after the whole kirtan, he sat on the bench. I said, Maharaj, I'm shocked you came for the Guru Puja. You had a backache. He said, oh, yeah, I have a backache. I said, what just happened? He said, I don't know. You know, when kirtan happens, I just forget everything. So we're not on that level. I'm not saying we should imitate that. Please take care of your health. If you have a backache, please consult a doctor. Don't imitate great souls. But I'm just saying that we understand the power of time. And then while applying, we practice mindfulness. We don't hurry. Otherwise, what will happen is, if you are always thinking of, you know, bhakti is not about doing. Ultimately, we want to reach a stage where we are with Krishna. We are in a state of being with Krishna. And that's how we transcend time. Like, this is a true story of one young man called Chris Matthews. And this story is very inspiring to me. 1985, he came to India as a 30-year-old young man, tourist from New York, Manhattan. He came to India and he went to the villages of India. And at one place, he went to Manikpur, which is near Chitrakoot. And he was stunned to see something. He saw a shop. He saw a house and a shop in that house, a courtyard, a small courtyard. And he saw an old man sitting and reading. At that time, he didn't know it was Ramayana. It was Tulsi Ramayana. You know this? Tulsidas Ramayana has beautiful shlokas, verses, which is sung in a particular meter, which is very melodious. Sita Ram Charit Ati Pavan, like that. And it's a very melodious, I can't even sing, imitate that. So he was singing that, and a middle-aged man was sitting in the shop, in the counter of the shop, and one small child was crawling in the courtyard. So this Chris Matthews says that when I saw that sight, I was transported into another dimension, or another reality. I just stood there stunned. I don't know what Sanskrit or this language was, these verses were. I went up to that old man and I said, who are you and what is all this? And the old man told me, I'm reading from Ramayana. And he told him about Ramayana. And then he said, I'm an old man, I'm retired, I'm waiting for my death. And I'm reading Ramayana. And you see this middle-aged man he was talking about, he's my son, he's managing the shop. And that child is his son, my grandson. So Chris Matthews like, okay. And then he sat there for half an hour. He just passed in the presence of that sacred sound vibration. He felt nourished and he left.
And 30 years later, in 2015, he came to India again as a 60-year-old man. And then in the end, he said, "Let me, before going back to New York, I want to just visit that village once." So now things had changed a little bit. But when he reached there, he was shocked. He saw that same old man sitting and reading Ramayana. And that middle-aged man sitting in the shop. And that child crawling in the courtyard. He was like, "What happened? Where am I? Have I sat on a time machine and gone back in time? What is happening? Who am I? Where am I?" And the same melody, same singing of Ramayana. And he went closer. And as he saw that old man, he realized, oh, maybe he's different. Then he asked him, "Who are you?" And then he told him about his incident that, you know, 30 years ago he had come and he had seen the same experience. So then that old man said, "Oh, I am that middle-aged man you saw then, sitting on the shop. Now I've become an old man. My old man is dead. My father is dead and gone." And that child you saw crawling, he is the one who's sitting in the shop now. And that child you see now crawling is his son. You come 30 years later, you will see him sitting in the shop. And my son would be reading Ramayana. So the point I'm saying is, you know, something is not changing. Morning program is happening, Guru Puja is happening. Our Gokulananji will continue to get for the next 10,000 years and more the six time offerings. So we need to connect to that space. Be present, be mindful, then we won't be victims of rajoguna, passion. Otherwise, mode of passion will drag us to tamo and we will be helpless. Is that okay, Prabhu? Hare Krishna. Let's stop here. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanand.